Alrighty, let's turn to Isaiah chapter 55 this morning. For starters, you'll be needing to keep your Bible handy. Turn to some familiar passages, I think. Isaiah 55. Isaiah chapter 55, let's read start with verse 6. Again, a very familiar passage to you. Something came to attention that I thought I wanted to address this morning. I hope that it meets your needs. In verse 6, "Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain cometh down, and the snow from heaven, and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth, and maketh it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it." Let's pause there for a word of prayer this morning. Now, Father, there's a lot going on in a day of some distractions, I suppose. We are missing some of our brethren who are either away on vacation or travel or else to Mexico. And, Lord, for them, we pray that you'll be with them, give them what they need, a refreshing, if nothing else. But we come here to you, Lord. We are grateful for a chance to gather and for what the summer portends for the rest of the time here. Lots of camps and so on coming down the pike and mission opportunities and those things. We pray that you'll bless all these endeavors. Now, Father, we thank you and pray that you might please bless, if somebody's here lost, that you might deal with their heart in a way maybe that you have not in a long time, if ever. And Father, through this, I pray that you might also admonish your people forward to seek thy face. And we just pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, we are in pretty deep in Hebrews and stuff. And talking about complicated, very intricate matters and such. I'm going to return to some basics. In fact, this will kind of tie in with some things that we preached last Sunday on Sunday night. You'll see that verse again and be reminded of it, I'm sure. But I'm going to return to some kind of simple elemental things. Now, I know that sometimes when you do that, people kind of dismiss it. But I promise you that one of the problems that we all have all the time is that you forget to practice simple elemental things. And almost always when you go seek the Lord's face and find the answer to why you've been, you know, out of sorts, off base, or whatever, you'll almost always find that you've just been neglecting something you already knew. And so this kind of preaching is very much needed. In this passage, you'll find a familiar passage. I'm sure that most of you can quote the verse. In verse 6, though, there's something that jumped out at me. It says, "Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near." Did you ever stop to just isolate the phrase, "He may be found"? Now, I know he may be found, seek ye the Lord while he may be found. There's a limit on that, and we'll talk about that a little bit in a second. But did you know that you are called to seek a God that may be found? Your God can be found. We have a God that can be found. In fact, it says at the end of verse 6 that he is near. He's made himself near. The Lord Jesus Christ came to seek and save that which is lost. He came near so you wouldn't have to travel far to get to him. We have a God that can be found. We're not asked to seek something that's unfindable or inaccessible or unobtainable. We're called to seek a God who actually wants to be found. Yes, he's invisible. Yes, he's immortal. Yes, he is a spirit and not technically a body like ours, but nevertheless, he is findable. And so somebody comes to him, and if they want, they can find him and be saved. And once you got that, you got that. But it's also true for believers that we are called to seek Him for the rest of our lives. Seek ye the Lord while He may be found. Call ye upon Him while He's near. We're called to seek the Lord in His strength. Seek His face continually. Seek the Lord in His strength. Seek His face evermore. For a Christian, the high calling is to draw as nigh unto God and seek Him as much as you can, so one day He's not such a stranger when you finally get to see Him. But for somebody seeking salvation, somebody that's lost, He is very findable. He wants to be found. Now, with that stated, there are several things to be mentioned here. Notice verse 6, seek ye the Lord. The Lord is someone that must be sought. He came seeking the lost, but He wants you to seek Him to be saved. If you are saved, then your high calling in life is to seek Him further, to seek His face continually, seek His face evermore. He must be sought. Your high calling is to seek Him. You must confront your wicked ways. Verse 7, let the wicked forsake his way. That goes for the lost and that goes for the saved. Amen? Let the wicked forsake his way, the unrighteous man his thoughts. Part of our problem is that we don't think right. And we were, first of all, Colossians says, enemies in our mind by wicked works. It all starts in the mind. But I just want to say you must confront the wicked ways and the unrighteous thoughts, and you should be relieved at the end of verse 7 to find there an abundant pardon. And that's what I've experienced. I've experienced an abundant pardon. Even after I've been saved all these years, I'm still very aware of how abundant not only the pardon, but the mercy is. Amen? Y'all are kind of quiet this morning. It's not that bad, is it? But the other thing you need to be warned about, it's a very a common thing in going through this passage in verse 8 and 9. God does not think like you. And He is not like you in that respect. So you have to constantly be aware that as you seek Him, He has a way that He wants you to seek Him. And just the way that you imagine in your mind may not be the way. Now, He says, seek ye the Lord while He may be found, because He may be found. He is able, you can find Him. He wants to be found, right? Okay, well, you need to find Him before this life ends. You need to find Him before this life ends and you blow your one chance to find Him as a sinner. You need to find Him as a Savior. But you only get a chance to go through this once. There is no replay. You may have more than one chance in life, but you have this one opportunity in this one mortal life to find Him, and you need to find Him. Seek ye the Lord while He may be found. You need to find Him before sin takes control of life, before the conscience gets hardened, before the heart gets deceived, before the devil and the world manage to get between your ears and mess with the way you think. You need to make sure you need to find Him. Before the heart is hard, you need to find Him before the rapture. There's a day coming, we talked about it in Sunday school, where the Lord's coming back to get His bride out of this mess. And if you're not part of that bride, you need to make sure that you are part before the rapture. If you are part of the bride, you need to make sure that you find Him as best you can. Seek Him and find Him before you leave here, because one day you're going to show up in heaven and you don't want Him to be a stranger. Amen? Those things said, the title of the message this morning is He May Be Found. He must be sought, but He may be found. It's often a little known fact that you can seek God wrong. And that's the truth. Most of the world religions in this world that claim that they are trying to find the God of creation or whatever they call it, most usually they are going down a path where they will never find Him because they won't acknowledge Jesus Christ. But I just want to say that it's possible to seek Him wrong. People are wrong when they say all that matters is that you're sincere. You can be sincerely wrong. And you can be sincerely damned in spite of your sincerity. But I assure you, He may be found. He wants to be found. He came to seek and save that which is lost. He desires nothing more than the fellowship with His children. Those that are His children. he may be found. So I want to talk to you this morning for a little bit about how the Lord must be sought. And again, this kind of builds maybe a little bit, I didn't intend it that way, on what we preached on Sunday night. And we'll even see that verse again later. But let me just begin by saying an absolute truth. If you were to get only, I'm not giving you an excuse to leave, but if you get only one point out of this message, point number one is it. You must seek God through Jesus Christ. That is the only way. There is one God and one mediator between God and man, and that is the man Christ Jesus. If you seek Him through Mary, you're on the wrong track. If you seek Him through Muhammad or Allah, you are on the wrong track. If you were deceived into thinking that Allah and God were the same, you are just dead wrong as you can be. I want to say that you have to seek Him through Jesus Christ. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Ephesians 2 says that you go through Christ Jesus by the Spirit to reach the Father. Jesus said, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. But you have to go through Jesus Christ. And if you try to go through somebody else, you're not going to find God. He may be found, but you're going to have to find Him in all frankness His way. If there's a key to this, the key is that you need Jesus Christ. Now, this is not the Jesus Christ of 1,000 different rituals. This is not the Jesus Christ of those mind-numbing catechisms and liturgies. I don't know how you keep your mind setting through a lifetime of the Catholic Church. Mind-numbing, I mean, delusively just mad as a March hare, bored to death. That is not the Jesus Christ you're seeking. I want to say you're not to seek the Jesus Christ of the Mormons. You're not to seek the Jesus Christ of the JWs. And then frankly, all too often, you're not even to seek the Jesus Christ of the Baptists. You need the Jesus Christ of the Bible. And sometimes there's nobody in this world that's easier to misrepresent than Jesus Christ if you're not going by the Bible. It's not after man's most vivid imagination. All through time, men have tried to make Jesus a hippie, Jesus a vegetarian, and you're just going down the list of all those abominable things that people have tried to make Jesus Christ. That is not who you're seeking God through. If you're seeking God, you have to seek God through the Lord Jesus Christ. Christians are called still, continually to seek God through Christ. He is the door. He is the way. I mean, we seek Him through the Bible. We'll say more about that in just a little while. But the reason God gave you Jesus Christ is so you could find your way to God through Him. Just keep that in mind. The charismatics overemphasize the Holy Spirit to the point that He is the center of everything for them. There are others, the humanistic crowd, that seek Jesus Christ only. It's like they're seeking their big brother. That's not the case. You're seeking God through the Lamb of God. You're walking through the veil of His flesh to be washed in His blood to seek unto God, God the Father. He is the way to God the Father. I just want to say, I mean, if you didn't get anything else out of this message this morning, I'd prefer you not get up to leave now. But everything else is really built upon this. It just gives you some different aspects. They're still indispensable, but the rest of this is just detail. You seek God through Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ came in this world and died for sinners, came seeking to save that which is lost, bled and suffered a horrible, agonizing death in public just for me. And if I didn't seek God through Christ, I would still be lost. So you need to seek God through Jesus Christ. If you're lost, get saved. If you're saved, seek God's face through Christ. Now, there's more to this, though, than that. If you will, let me have you turn to Isaiah. Next book to the right, Isaiah chapter 6. I'm sorry, Jeremiah chapter 6. Jeremiah 6. And having said that Jesus is enough and that's the sum total of it all, it's also worthwhile to add that there are some textures here that folks get wrong, so you need to make sure you don't get it wrong. Notice in Jeremiah chapter 6 and down in verse 16, "Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see and ask for the old paths, where is the good way, and walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls. But they said, we will not walk therein." In that passage, it talks about the old paths, wherein is the good way, and there we are to seek and ask for God. I can add to the fact that we're to seek unto God through Christ. You need to seek Him in the old paths. Now, I know this is not new to probably too many of you, but it is man's arbitrary nature to always try to improve and enhance and make better some things. Man has proven himself to be very good at that in some ways. In some ways, I mean, it's very good. You have to admit that a washer and dryer is better than two rocks and muddy water in the river. I mean, you have to admit that that's even better than a wash tub and that thing that you scraped your clothes off, all the muck off of them, you know, by hand. Everybody understands that man did a great thing when it came to inventing a washer and a dryer. Praise the Lord for that. I'm grateful for interior plumbing in January in Minnesota. That is a good development over a little wood shack out back with a hole in it. I mean, it's good. You can even put one of those little soft seedy things in those little shacks, and those don't work all that great. So I'm grateful for interior indoor plumbing. You'll have to admit that a shot of penicillin beats an amputation. Right? So there's plenty to thank God for as far as man and his ingenuity being able to develop things that make things better. I like my car. I'm glad I don't have to take care of a horse. It would take a while for some of us to get to church with a horse and a buggy. Wouldn't be back tonight. We just have to stay here all day. But man's inclination is to continually obsess, and frankly, sometimes he piddles around with things that don't need improvement. And sometimes he tries to improve things and makes them worse instead. Man's infernal tinkering extends to the Bible, and it extends to the gospel, and it extends to the way that God views salvation and worship. And all too often, the modern churches are zoos and circuses because they have brought forth changes that they call improvements. The new and better things are just a big deal to us all. We're all accustomed to a new iPhone coming out, whether we buy one or not. We're accustomed to a new iPhone coming out every year. And it's just so much better than the last one. Oh, the camera. Oh, the social media. Oh, this and oh, that. Well, you know, whatever. But you have to admit those aren't improving your lives that much. Now, I just want to say, when they started improving on the Bible, they messed things up. When they started improving on the idea of God, I'm sorry, the idea of sin is quite literally as old as dirt. And where you start trying to improve on that, you just mess it up. I'm sorry, it's still the blood. I'm sorry, it's still a blood sacrifice. You still need the blood of Jesus Christ to save your soul. You still need the blood of Jesus Christ to cleanse yourself, to get back into fellowship with God. And you can do what you want to do, but when you start messing with the blood, you're messing with something that should not be improved upon. I'm telling you that in seeking God, you seek Him through Christ, but you just remember that the newfangled Christ is most likely the wrong ones. The changes have been made where it's now rock concerts and love-ins and vegetarianism and social media and a thousand other things that are supposed. Somebody actually stood and looked at me in the eye one time and said, "I have discovered a new and better way to worship." And I knew what she meant. It was a she. She meant rock and roll, no Bible, and bad doctrine. That is man's improvement on seeking God and worshiping God. It's always the case. It hardly ever fails. Say, what do you say? I say you need to stick with the old paths. Newfangled does not apply to the Bible. It never has. Newfangled does not apply to doctrine. Newfangled does not apply to heaven and hell. You can't improve heaven, and you can't make hell less hot. So quit messing with it. You're just messing it up. I'm telling you that you seek God in the old paths. That's what Jeremiah said. Now notice something else that you wouldn't mind. Go to Matthew 7. Matthew 7. Matthew chapter 7, going down to verse 13, where it says this: "Enter ye in at the strait gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction. Many there be that go in thereat, because strait is the gate, and narrow is the way." Notice how neatly straight was defined in the King James Bible. It's defined as narrow. Did you see that? Verse 14, just saying. You don't need a Greek. You don't even need a dictionary. I'm just saying. Verse 14, "Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it." I'd like to say that not only are you to seek God through Jesus Christ, and not only are you to seek God in the old paths as opposed to the new paths. As opposed to the new paths. You're also supposed to seek Him in the straight way. Straight means narrow in the Bible. Think of a very narrow opening in a rock wall, a narrow mountain pass, or a narrow hallway or doorway. And that's what you're looking at here. Man tends, again, like this thing with something new, man has a tendency to perpetually knock down walls, to broaden, to try to make, you know, bigger. And I understand that. I like wide roads. And personally, while our house is not set up that way, it can't be because of the way it's built, but I like open floor plans. I'm good if I can see from one end of the house to the other unobstructed. I'm happy with one big room and a bookcase stuffed in between. As long as I have one little cove to go hide my wolfy self in my little cave, if I really want to get away from you, I'm good with an open floor plan where you can see everything, even the bathroom. No, I'm kidding. I'm kidding. You say, what's the point? Well, I'm saying that, you know, I like those things, and I personally, as a pastor, I deal with people. I like everybody to be happy, and I would prefer as many as possible for everybody to be included. It's kind of the way I am. But I also want to say that that is not how we are to seek God. Bible says that we're to seek Him in the straight way. That way is straight, that way is narrow. Many quote-unquote religious people have a tendency, a proclivity to grow to think that God is inclusive. And He's really not. I don't mean that He cares what color you are or whether you're fat or skinny or, you know, what your background was. He doesn't care about that as long as you come and get saved. But the idea is that He won't allow you to come any way you want to come. You know, we have to enter this life as Anna and some of the ladies here are experiencing here soon. And we all enter into this life. It's single file. I'm sorry, babies don't come, side by side out the womb. Thank the Lord. Right, ladies? I mean, it's hard enough on the fathers. I just can't, I mean, poor Caleb. Just pray for Caleb because it's rough on him. I know it is. But you come into this life single file. I got news how you enter the kingdom of God. You go in single file. I mean, there is no club you can join to get in. We are born one at a time into this world, and you're born singularly and one at a time into the kingdom of God through Jesus Christ. You seek God through Christ in the old paths, not the new, in the straight way, the narrow way, not the broad one. Men have a tendency to kind of broaden it where, you know, somebody that believes in God is good to go. And that's not good enough. You're told in James that the devils believe and they're not saved. I was listening to a well-known radio host this week. I don't spend all my time doing that, I assure you. But after the Roe versus Wade thing was overturned, and this guy is a Mormon, and he was, he broke into tears. He actually broke into tears, happy tears. You could hear his voice break and crack when the Roe versus Wade decision was made, and he was glad. And then he broke right into prayer. This is a nationally syndicated secular radio talk show host. Then he broke into prayer, saying, "Oh God, please forgive us, your people, for letting this stand for so long," and da-da-da-da-da. That all sounds good. That news for you. Everybody in America is not God's people. That guy is a Mormon. He's probably not one of God's people. And my point is simply that, there are folks that tend to include, great sweeps of the population, and it's not true. You're called to seek God in a straight way. We have a tendency to people say, "Well, all roads lead to God." No, they don't. No, they don't. Sincerity is all that matters, and what's in your heart is all that matters. No, it's not. You don't just get to believe anything. You just don't get to enter any way you want to enter. It's not that way. The broad, wide, popular way is not the way to find God. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." The Bible says it's a straight way. It's a narrow way. You need to go through the Jesus Christ of the Bible, not the Jesus Christ of your imagination. No, he's not homosexual. No, he doesn't drive an SUV. And no, he's not an environmentalist. And so where you make him those things and then try to enter through the one that you've created in your mind, it's the wrong one. That's the Antichrist. I'm just saying, we are, as a high calling, you and I as Christians, we're called to seek unto God perpetually, continually. It's going to take you the rest of your lifetime to seek God and find Him and get as much fellowship in as you can. If you start seeking Him in a new path and in a broad way, you're going to miss the target. It's when you take a bow and arrow and you fire at, and I'm not a very good bowman. I've only shot once or twice, but I got kind of close. But I learned that when you're trying to hit the center, the target center, there's just a very small cylinder through which that arrow has to travel, and you can't just aim anywhere and have it turn and curve. It's not a heat-seeking missile. I mean, you have to be on target to have that thing reach the target and split the target. And I know that that may be explaining more than I need to even explain to you. But I'm saying it's a straight way. It's a narrow way. Can I add something else? Look in Matthew chapter 6, since you're nearby. Matthew 6 and verse 33. Matthew chapter 6, verse 33, where it says, "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." Okay, then I'll just say this. In seeking God, you need to seek Him first. He's to be sought first. Not second. Not last. So what are you getting at? Well, let me illustrate it this way. Imagine a guy who has been shipwrecked. He's the only guy that got in the lifeboat. Everybody else is dead. He has long floated away from the wreck site. And for 2 weeks, he has lain in the lifeboat. He has eaten a couple of raw fish that he managed to get his hands on. And there's been a little rainwater that he was able to catch in his cap. Otherwise, he's starving to death. He needs food. He can just taste any, food is just a constant growling need. Water is a constant growling need. He needs to get out of the sun. The sun is bearing down on him. He needs some things so badly. And then suddenly, he falls out of the boat. And he can't swim. You know what he learns real quickly? There's something that he needs far worse first, other than food and water and shade. He needs air, right? And I'm afraid that's going to be the way it is with some folks who wind up standing before God, maybe just before they're pitched off into hell, where there were so many things that they felt they needed. When they find out and they get to the reality of it, they're going to find out what they needed first was God. Let's use another slightly different illustration. A guy's lost, and he's 40, 45, 50 years old, something like that. He's made a wreck of things. His home is a wreck. His wife is a wreck. His children are wrecks. His marriage is a wreck. The IRS is hot on his heels. He's beset with health problems. He's a drunk. He's an addict. He has a thousand things, not a thousand, but he has several things that could potentially kill him and eventually will if he doesn't straighten out. In misery, he hears about Jesus Christ and seeks unto his God. And the Lord's willing to listen. Because why? Because he may be found, right? Did you know that a lot of folks in those circumstances, when they seek unto God, what they want is to have their marriage problems solved, their children come home, the problems with the IRS to go away, and his health problems to be resolved. Can I just say, the Lord's not that interested in that. The guy's soul's at stake. He's going to live somewhere forever. The Lord is primarily interested in saving your soul. It is sometimes proven to be a sad mistake, and it's because of really bad doctrine in mainstream Christianity here in Laodicea, that somebody who may be a Christian has problems in his life and his marriage is breaking up and his children are gone and his money is gone and the IRS is after him and a thousand things are going wrong. And so he is taught now to come to Jesus, who can solve all his problems. And there's a problem with that. Jesus is not necessarily, don't get me wrong, he can fix anything. He can do anything. He has proven he can do anything. He did a bunch of that in the New Testament, in the Gospels. Is that right? He did that because Israel had a right to seek signs. But I'm telling you that you may be sadly disappointed, because what the Lord wants from you is your fellowship, is your relationship with Him first to be rectified, and He may not solve your IRS problems first. Believe it or not, He is not primarily Mr. Fix-It, except for your sins and your fellowship with Him. He will make a priority. If you say this moment today, I want to be saved, I want to be in fellowship with God again. I want my sins gone. He will do that immediately. Your IRS problems may linger until you pass into the grave. You know why? Because Jesus Christ is not Mr. Fix-It. You're called to seek Him first above other things that you desire to be fixed. I don't know about you, but okay, well, my lawnmower broke on Friday. I got a rider, and the power won't engage so that my deck doesn't spin and cut the grass. So I've got to crawl under it tomorrow and figure out what's going on. Somehow the linkage got broken or something like that. Okay? If I'm not careful, that kind of mechanical stuff preoccupies my mind. And you know what? You're the same way. Now, you may fix a lawnmower just by looking at it. You may be that good. Okay? But I promise you there's something in this life, if you're not careful, that'll distract you away from your fellowship with God, where in order for you to fellowship with God, you want that thing fixed first. He may not fix that thing first. Don't forget, my ways are not your ways, and my thoughts are not your thoughts, because my ways are higher than your ways, and my thoughts are higher than your thoughts. He doesn't think like you. He's not like you. So you need to seek God not only through Christ. You need to seek God in old paths. If I'm you, I'm leaving the newfangled stuff aside. Now, if you read your Bible off your iPad, help yourself. But you're going to have to seek God through that Bible. Okay? You're going to have to deal with your sin. You're going to have to be willing to get your heart right and repent. If you're doing it newfangled, if you're going to go somewhere and listen to the rock and roll and raise your hands and light your lighter and pretend that you're being spiritual, that's a joke. The newfangled stuff is not the way to seek Him. I want to say the broad way is not the place to seek Him. The popular way, the way your grandma says to, the way all your friends who are at work and they all go to the same church and they just go to church and they have the best time, that's not the way to seek Him. The popular way is not the way. I want to say that you can't seek Him second. You have to make Him the priority. He's the first thing. Your eternal salvation is the first thing. And then your fellowship with Him is the first thing. And if you start seeking other things, you just want Him to be your problem solver. And before you get your heart right, you want Him to solve this issue. You're on the wrong track. I'm saying you need to seek Him first. There's a couple other things. I'll say more than a couple, actually, but no, just hang in there. Look in Psalm 63. Psalm 63. This is pretty rudimentary advice, but I tell you what, if your fellowship is a little bit on the rocks with the Lord right now, I bet you good money, or for that matter, even bad money, just not much money, I bet you that you failed in some of these rudimentary things. And that somewhere in process of having lost contact and intimate touch with Him, I bet that you have forgotten something that you already knew. Because that's the way we are. All right, look in Psalm 63 and verse 1. O God, Thou art my God. Early will I seek Thee. My soul thirsteth for Thee, my soul longeth for Thee, in a dry and thirsty land where no water is. It says, though, there that early will I seek Thee. I'd like to say, you need to seek Him early. Not just in a straight path, and not just in an old way, and not just through Christ, and not just first, but you need to seek Him early. Yes, there are old people that have had long careers in sin. And if I had been God, I would have squashed them into a grease spot long time ago. I mean, I personally don't understand why there are so many Rolling Stones still alive. Right? They're all only 386 years old. I don't know how they still manage to travel around to casinos and dance around as 80-year-old men still singing songs they sang when they were 22. I don't get it. And that only proves that there are sometimes old people who have long careers in sin, which should have killed them a long time ago. And I want to say that along that line, there are also old people who, you know, make a change late in life. Once in a while, you hear somebody like that who, you know, has lived ungodly and just, you know, hurt people right and left and blasphemed God and still manage at some late hour of their life to get saved. We've known somebody like that recently. But the point is, those proportions are low. It's just not that many people that have long careers in sin that then turn to God and have a vital, intimate relationship with Him. It's just not that high a proportion. You need to seek Him early as possible because you need as much time as possible. By that, I mean if you need to get saved as young as you can, right? And then after you are saved, you need to seek Him as consistently as you can for as long as you can. I speak as someone with experience. I've told you before, I've been saved for 52 years. And I still feel like I'm behind. I still haven't found Him at the level that I think Paul did. And that I think I should have. You're going to need all the time you've got. And I say that to say you need to seek Him early. If this is the first time you've understood the gospel today, that's early enough. If this moment is the first time that you've been under conviction, then that's early enough. If you never thought about it this way before, it's still not too late. It's early enough. But the fact of the matter is, life is short. And conviction wears off. And what you deem as really, really important today, tomorrow, the edge is going to come off a little. And by Tuesday, you might not even think about it. And by Wednesday, you're certainly not. I'm telling you, you need to seek Him as early as you can, either for salvation or as a Christian. You need to go. You need to find the Lord and seek His face as early as possible. The urgency fades. Conscience gets calloused. In fact, the Holy Spirit gets grieved. You don't have an open window necessarily forever. The night is far spent. The day is at hand. We all will say at Blessed Hope Baptist Church that we live in the perilous times of the latter days. We may have an hour and a half left. We may have 2 or 3 days left. We may have a week, a month, or a year or two. Who knows? But the fact is, it could be any time. And in that hour, you don't want to be caught sleeping. I want to say furthermore, look in Psalm 27. This returns to where we were on Sunday night last week. And so this kind of flows together. Psalm 27, this was the text last Sunday night. When thou saidst, seek ye my face, talking to God, my heart said unto thee, thy face, Lord, will I seek. Okay, you need to seek the Lord actively, responsively, passionately, right? When thou saidst, seek ye my face, my heart said unto thee, I mean, immediately, thy face, Lord, will I seek. Didn't change the instructions or anything. He just said, you said seek you. My heart said, I'm seeking you. It ought to be that way. It ought to be responsive. Question. Why do you like your cat? Does that seem like a disconnect? Why do you like your cat or dog? I bet you, you like your cat or dog because from the first moment you saw her in the Humane Society, You looked in her eyes and you had a connection. And you petted her and she responded. And if she's a kitty, you know, she's just so cute. And she just cuddles up with me and your puppy. I mean, he understands me better than my boyfriend. You can just tell by looking in his eyes, you have a connection. What is that? You like your dog or cat by the way it responds to you. In some ways, that applies to people. Why does nobody date or marry a mannequin? I mean, you could make the perfect proportion. You could have the blonde or the redhead or whatever is your preference. And I mean, any proportion you wanted. But she, he, or it does not respond to you. Do you understand? I mean, folks, part of the issue with seeking God is that He seeks you to respond. And in Psalm 27:8, when thou said, seek ye my face, my heart said, my heart responded, thy face, Lord, will I seek. And most people, you know, when they start dating and they're in love and they want to get married, part of that whole process is, okay, there's the chemical I like you thing and the attraction part, I get that. But part of what bonds people together is how they respond to each other. And she likes him to be somewhat sensitive at some level. You know, not too sensitive, I hope. But sensitive, and you know, he listens to me and he understands me. Right? And he says, hey, hon, you want to go to the truck pool? She says, sure! With, you know, enthusiasm. Whereas as opposed to, I guess. Well, that's not as attractive to the truck guy. You know? Hey, honey. I bought a gun. Oh, it's beautiful! Oh, he likes that. She goes, another one? And that's not the response he wants. Yeah. So what's the point? Part of what makes the relationship valuable is the response. And the longer you keep that response going through life, the likelihood is the better you get along. And the longer you get along. And the more you become a cantankerous old crab, where you're satisfied to be left alone except for 1 hour of the day, then the marriage starts going a little bit cold because the response isn't right. Now here's the deal. The Lord wants you to respond to Him. And what makes it hard for us Laodicean Christians is the fact that it's not a cakewalk for us. Because the Lord sought us, then He gave us a book, and He said, we walk by faith and not by sight. And so, instead of responding to God and then seeing His face break into a, you know, a glorious smile upon you, instead you have to see that by faith, that you've pleased Him. Because you don't see Him. And you can say what you want to about your emotions, but you don't feel Him either. And there's just times that you have to know that I've done what the Lord said and I've pleased Him. And so by faith I've pleased Him. And one day we'll get to see each other face to face and hug this out. Right? But the fact of the matter is that you're supposed to seek Him actively and responsively. Not just responsibly, responsively. Because that's why you like your dog. I say, Max, come here, and sometimes he just lays there. And then the voice gets a little more threatening, and he gets up and plods up the stairs to go outside. In those moments, I could kill him. When I have hollered for him for 20 minutes at night, I've let him out to run in the darkness so that he gets his little, you know, his legs loosened up. And I've stood at the door of the garage for 20 minutes hollering for him. Finally, I have to go back in and get my shoes on and get a flashlight, only to find that he's laying 30 feet over there. And he's listened to me holler for 30 minutes. Someday I'm going out with a shotgun. Because it drives me nuts. You think it might not, you know, be a solemn issue that the Lord can call you and tell you and plead with you for long periods of time, and you are Max laying over there listening to the voice, doing nothing. I think he's learned that I don't have night vision, and he does, and so he knows I can't see him until I get my flashlight. One day I'm coming out with a shotgun. You're called to seek him actively, passionately. And one last thing, and then I'll be done, all right? Look in Isaiah 34. Isaiah 34. Isaiah chapter 34, verse 16. Seek ye out of the book of the Lord and read. I like to say, you're called to seek him out of the book. We walk by faith and not by sight. Faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God. I didn't make the rules. Like it or lump it, you're called to seek him out of the book. You can seek, you can imagine his face, you can play the imagery game, you can make up stuff in your mind where, you know, you're, you know, flying to him across the field of flowers into his arms where you have a loving hug and all that kind of stuff. And I don't mean that's how it happened. You're called to seek him out of the book. We are a people of the book. You're called to know Jesus Christ by the book. It's not an impersonal thing. It's just that he had to establish a way so that all generations could know the same person the same way. So he had to record it. Right? I mean, if I get to imagine a different Jesus than Paul worshipped, and I get really close to my imaginary Jesus, then we're not playing on the same grounds. It's the way the Lord solved the varying generational issues that come up and a changing world, and in spite of what the New Versions people say, the changing culture and the changing societal dynamic in faith, is that he recorded a book and gave you a book. So everybody is seeking the Lord out of the same book. We're all dealing with the Lord as he presents himself to us. And so you have no excuse to seek him some other way, to look for some sort of second vision, some sort of mystic, new age, touchy-feely, you know, companionship, you know, contact with Jesus. No. You seek him the same way I seek him. And you seek him the same way a fourth century Christian sought him, from the book. From the book. And that's why you need a book. But we're called to seek the Lord, ladies and gentlemen. You seek him through Jesus Christ. And everything else here was adding just color to that. But in the old paths, in the straight way, you seek him first. You seek him early. You seek him actively. Responsively, and you seek him out of the book. And if that's not how you've sought the Lord, I bet you that if you find that you've failed to seek the Lord correctly, I bet you failed in seeking him in some ways that you once knew you should. It's just that it falls to the wayside. And so that's why we preach a simple sermon sometimes. Amen. If you've never trusted Christ as your Savior, today's your day. If you never understood before, today's the day. Okay? Do it now. If you have fallen slack, Christian, in seeking the Lord, today's the day to renew and move forward again. Let's bow our heads and pray. Lord, I do appreciate a chance.